Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to LifeRemixedRadio.com. This week is Authors Week. So
wake up! Take the pillow from your head and put a book in it! It's time for
LifeRemixedRadio.com.
What's happening, everybody? It's your girl, Cy Brown, coming at you from Times Square, New York City, bringing you Life Remix Radio, another episode. This week, we are celebrating authors, writing, everything about their stories, nonprofits, nonfiction books, books that can help you grow your mind, develop your mind, just kind of make you expand your horizons. I am so honored. Let me tell y'all something. I have April Silver on the show today, and the funniest thing, you know how they say that 6 degrees of separation? I think April and I are separated by like a degree and a half, and we can never make it happen. I'm right here in the city, and she's in Brooklyn, a powerful, powerful, powerful sister, and I'm so honored to have her on my show. So today, we're not even getting into the word of the day, pop culture, hot topics, because I'm going to bring April into the fray of all of those conversations. But one thing that I will never neglect to do is bring our daily thought from the hill. So before we jump right on into this amazing interview, y'all are going to be so blessed just hearing two powerful sisters talk and share and bond and network. It's just a good thing. We're going to talk about April's book, talk about her activism, talk about what she does, her put on blast. We're just going to do it up big. So today's Daily Thoughts from the Hill comes from Hillside Chapel and Truth Center out of Atlanta, Georgia, for Thursday, August 7th. I expect the best and I receive the best. Do you start your day with a healthy idea about yourself? Do you believe you have something to share with others? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Reject any false evidence of lack or limitation. Replace thoughts of lack with thoughts of plenty that are available to you right now. Replace thoughts of limitation with a consciousness of expansion. Expect the best and look for the best. Experience joy in your relationships, knowing that God's love draws you to the perfect relationships you desire. God knows the desires of your heart. I expect the best of myself. I love myself unconditionally. I gently release any negative, undesirable image that I may falsely hold of myself. I am made in the image and likeness of God. I am made in the image and likeness of good. I come from the source of excellence. I freely give of my best in every situation. I prepare myself to receive the best. I attend classes and participate in activities that build my spiritual growth. I share my talents to benefit and strengthen the ministries at my place of worship. I look for and expect the best to come. I open my mind and I receive the best ideas from God. Thank you, God, in me, as me, and so it is. And today's scripture comes from the book of James, chapter 4, verse 8. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Thank you, everybody, for that moment. Just meditate on that. I just want to speak really quickly before I bring April in. I expect the best and receive the best. I just have to share a personal testimony. You know, a lot of times we do things in life, and I'm referring to me. I do a lot of things, and sometimes it may not work out. And you feel slightly deflated. I know I do, and that's human, and it's to be expected. And then if I try something again and it doesn't work, it could even be in a similar vein or even something a little bit different, and it doesn't work out. And it may happen one or two more times. I'll tell you how I felt. I was like, damn, my life is just doomed for misery. Why even bother? But what happened is I was so focused on when things did not work out, I missed all of the little victories that were taking place in other areas of my life, and I'm really referring to my professional aspirations. A lot of times I feel I want to accomplish something, I want to do something for my business, I want to make big things happen, and it may not work out just the way I want because my standards are so high, but then I'm not noticing how in my personal life, maybe with my marriage or with my children, little things are working out, and I just became so deflated that I just figured, you know what, this is not going to work out. Why bother? And I lowered my expectations so low that I was really not accomplishing much. So I do have to say, I expect the best and I receive the best. This is something that rings true in my life, and I really, really hope it resonates with you as well. Every day we read something different. And I usually try to save my commentary because I want you to take what I read and apply it for your life without my commentary or without my influence. But I couldn't let this one slip by because this is something I have definitely experienced and has affected me in many areas personally and professionally, not feeling good enough, feeling like it's not even going to work out anyway. Why bother? And even this radio show is just a testament of my faith and my tenacity to make sure it happens no matter what. So I really say I'm a champion of this. And you know I do not read our daily thought before I come on the air, which is why sometimes I muddle through them. But it's because I'm reading it at the same time you're hearing it, and I want it to resonate and have a huge impact in my life, as I hope it does in yours every single day. So I just say expect the best, receive the best, because there is so much good out there for all of us to receive. We just have to properly position ourselves to receive it. So on that note, I'm going to bring in today's guest, who I'm so happy to speak with. April, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good afternoon.
That's me giving applause.
What a humbling introduction.
You know what? I wish I had like an applause-o-meter or something.
You are too much.
So that way I can just applaud. See, everybody listening, you know what? It's negligence on my part as well, because you know somebody's there and you take them for granted. And I'm saying this for me. Well, you know this person's there. I receive April's emails. But you know something? In order to foster good relationships that can help you, sometimes you do have to be proactive. And
right.
I guess it took this radio show for me to actually take the initiative and try to make this happen, because I do want to be in your presence and I do want to be in your company. So I'm just excited. And I tell all of my listeners, the people that come on my show are real people. Like, we deal with enough of the BS day in and day out. And I take pride in having guests on the show that can pour into the lives of all of my listeners. So I'm not saying it like, oh, you should feel good, though, I'm on the side show. But, you know, I try to do justice for my listeners and make sure that the people, when they tune in and they spend their 1 hour with me, because you can't get time back,
it's an hour
well spent, not on foolishness. They can get that anywhere. So anyway, hey, April.
Hey, I'm so glad to be with you today.
Thank you.
I appreciate
good.
It.
Can you, you know, nobody can talk about you better than you. So can you tell my listeners a little bit about who you are before I get into my questions about politics and pop culture and life and your book and all that good stuff?
Yeah, well, I think the simplest way to describe what I do, if we just want to zone in on that, is arts and activism. So much of my work and how people, if they know me at all, they'll know about Akilah Work Songs, which is the name of my company, and that's the banner under which I do much of or all of my arts and activism work. And essentially, it translates into a company that specializes in artist management, public relations, excuse me, and consulting. So for the past 15 years, we just celebrated our 15th anniversary.
Wow.
We've been circling.
That's huge.
Yeah. We had a big show, sold out show at Joe's Pub, which is local here in New York City, a celebration, and we gave out an honor to Nana Camille Yarborough. We had some of my favorite independent artists performing. We raised money for the nonprofit work that we do. So it was really great, and it was a culmination, but it was certainly a celebration of like-minded spirits and activists and artists and advocates who understand that the craft that we have, the gifts that we have, the talents that we have, our own unique genius has to be poured back into community development.
Yeah.
And that it's okay to be specific to Black people. So that's what we were upholding. And I really think that event and all the kinds of people that came into the room, our clients, our artists, activists, advocates, some known, some not so known, some emerging, mostly African American, but people of color, white people as well. We came into the room in that cipher, if you will, because we believe that our work is supposed to be for the collective.
Mm-hmm.
For empowerment. So that's, that you just don't work for material gain only. You don't just work for your own personal advancement. But that because our conditions here in this country, because we experience racism and sexism and that there is oppression, that we need to counter that. That's not something that, it's not a kind of work that you just leave for somebody else to do.
I agree.
Yeah, so that's in a nutshell. Like I said, it manifests in a PR company. We work with certain kinds of artists, those who believe in social justice, poets, writers, singers, songwriters. We work with them, and we are the PR firm for the like-minded artists and activists. We also manage one artist. We used to have a speakers bureau. We're
mm-hmm.
looking to actually resume that because, a week doesn't go by that people aren't asking us to open that back up. So we're considering doing that.
I hope so. We can definitely politic with that one.
Yeah. So
we can definitely work with that one.
Yeah, our thing is just to create platforms, be it through spreading the good news about people and the work that they do so that we can balance some of the negativity.
Right.
And it could be as... It could be as technical as sending out a press release, or making sure that client is in the news, is
mm-hmm.
somewhere that you know about the good work that they do. And it could be as broad as, we conduct and we produce conferences, national conferences. So it really varies. So people often say, what is it that you do exactly? Because they see us everywhere.
Right, we're
either behind the scenes or, at one point, as you may recall, I was on hosting a television show on BETJ. So it's either behind the scenes or in front. We are where the work is. Just explaining, what we do for those who might not be familiar.
Well, I mean, you said so many powerful things. I want to touch first and foremost on the community development. And, I'm sure you're aware, just the whole concept of this show is Life Remixed.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I have found is my entire generation, I'm in my late 30s, and I grew up in New York City. Our entire generation, for the most part, had parents that grew up in the 60s and taught us, go to school, you get a job, you have your vacation, and you're good.
Right.
But we find ourselves right now, number one, first and foremost, is pretty much just the tail end of first-generation hip-hop.
Mm-hmm.
So our lives and a lot of the decisions that we have made have been based on our association and affinity with that culture from
right.
a cultural perspective, globalization, technology. So now we're all positioned like, okay, what do we do? Like, how do we raise our kids? How do we, interact with teachers? And we can't really seek guidance from our parents or generations prior because many of the things that they taught us are either A, no longer relevant or debatable. And let me give you a quick example. My dad firmly believes that children should be seen and not heard, and he believes that to the fullest.
Right.
As do a lot of people. And he has slapped me in the face, not literally, with how my husband and I parent our children. Now, he's not like a mean dude who goes around criticizing me, but he says, you know, you guys, you young parents, and I'm saying, Daddy, how do you know what's on the minds of these children? We've got MySpace. We've got gangs. There's so many different things that we have to deal with that you didn't have to deal with. And it's not to be, I would be remiss in saying the things they dealt with were not challenging. But as parents and just as a community and as a people, we have so much more to do, and we have to rededicate our lives to our community. What do you find, or how do you connect with the community through your efforts?
Well, we straight up do the work. It's beyond the effort, but we have a history of working in the community, mostly through the arts. Our platform is through the arts, so
okay.
It's education and through the arts. So we're going to be meeting my company and
mm-hmm.
and my colleagues and my partners and fellow activists. We will be the ones that will be organizing and putting together the free forums on domestic violence against women or how to stop it.
Right.
We are the ones that will even get professional and say, this is how, these are some things that we've learned on how to be a social entrepreneur. You
mm-hmm.
know, like we can help people to, you know, crystallize that. We can give people some tools of the trade on how to market themselves, how to be better communicators. So we go from the professional realm and giving people those tips of the trade.
Mm-hmm.
To all the way to doing some personal development, social justice work. We're the ones that will be, building coalition with other organizations against police brutality, you
mm-hmm.
know, like I said, against the domestic violence, doing free screenings, creating forums and opportunities and town hall meetings for people to discuss anything from hip-hop to how to be politically educated and involved in one's own community. And even how to look at oneself and focus on personal development. So we're the producers, you know, and the organizers and the activists, you know, behind the scenes and doing a lot of work that people don't even might not know about. But when we actually do produce a free event, most of the events are free and they're open to the public, and we have people come oftentimes to not just self-express, but to be involved or to volunteer if they want to kind of get their hands and feet wet, so to speak, in terms of how to do community programming. So that's how it's more than an effort. It's like lifelong work, passion. The unfortunate part is that there's always the need for it.
Right.
Because at every gathering that you have, no matter how small or how large, you have different levels of understanding. You have
right.
different levels of comprehension, different levels of political education, different wills. People have different wills and motivations, you know, what they will manifest in their life.
Right.
They have different visions. So we just want to continue to do the work and create opportunity for us to come together for those that believe that our craft, our talent, our genius should be dedicated at least largely for our own self-political advancement, for our own collective advancement, for our own education, because we identify the life that we're living right now is not 100%. It's the context is struggle.
Right.
Because we live in a society that will violate our rights as human beings.
Right.
So, you know, as citizens, we struggle. You know, now we are liberated in our minds, or we seek to be liberated human beings, and, our first allegiance is to the Creator.
Right.
But we also recognize that we are citizens in this country that has a tendency and more than just a tendency, but will deliberately deny rights to black people, to people of color, to women, and we have to fight against that. We have to resist that.
You know what? I know you just so much from working with people in the hip-hop community, namely KRS, Dougie Fresh,
right.
just being in that whole New York City hip-hop scene. those artists in particular are both very much on the forefront of uplifting the collective consciousness of our people. And I know Doug definitely is very careful about what he eats when he travels and things like that. Have you found in your career, just because you work with community development, social justice through the arts, that not piggybacking on the trends of hip-hop and what it turned into has helped you or has hurt you?
If whether or not piggyback, aligning ourselves with hip-hop, if it has helped.
Yeah, well, because the people that, like when you were saying community development through the arts, social justice, I know that to be very, very true just by the nature of the emails and the people that you work with.
Right.
But I'm saying some of the people, because you work so heavily in the arts, but yet you stay on a, I don't want to say morally uplifting, but you stay on a positive tip. Do you feel that has hurt you or helped you professionally? Because a lot of artists, namely Jay-Z, they say they want to do the right thing. But the draw of that money keeps them from doing so.
Well, our motivation is not money. As a matter of fact,
okay.
We have a saying that says principle, not profit, is our bottom line.
Okay.
So we don't find any hindrance from the work that we've chosen in terms of getting being able. Not in the way that I think you're meaning. So hip hop has been very. It's our backdrop. It's more than the backdrop for us. It's the context. It's our cultural aesthetic. The philosophy of hip hop, the take something from nothing, from nothing you build something, you know, this think outside the box and, you know, being cutting edge and to be entrepreneurial, like that's the context. And my company has been around, we've been here for 15 years.
Yeah, I know.
Now, and for the last 10 years, actually, in October, we celebrate 10 years of being self-employed.
Wow.
I mean, a self-employed, you know, entity. So I have a team. Drake Holiday is on board and has been since day one. He's the number two person here. And Thesha Shabazz is the director of communications. And I have other consultants that work with me, and they get paid. You know, they get checks. So
beautiful, April.
Yeah,
this is beautiful.
We're not coming from the standpoint that hip-hop has hurt us. And as a matter of fact, so much of our grounding is in hip-hop, and we have taken it, we're fully grounded in hip-hop, and then just because we're fully expressed in other cultures and genres, you know, we are with those as well. We've represented the jazz artists before. We're very open-minded and expanded. So hip-hop has been nothing short of a blessing.
Beautiful, beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. And, you know, I speak at a lot of middle schools, and I talk to young people, and I let them know, well, I actually let the administrators know before I get there, if you expect me to come in and talk about how horrible BET is and how bad hip-hop is, you have the wrong person. Because I'm not going to do it. Now, I will talk about the disparities. I will talk about the differences and the distinctions from the culture versus the music, but I can't bash it either because it's been very good to me. And if anything, I feel it's played an integral part of helping me find who I am as a person, because that's what spoke to me during very critical and low points of my life.
Right. No, I was going to say I agree with something that Doug said, which is slightly different from what you're saying, if I'm hearing you correctly. And I learned this from him a couple of years ago. Dougie Fresh was like, you know, it's okay to criticize and be mad at hip hop, because otherwise it's not going to grow. So I don't quite have the same perspective. I am very upset, angry, disappointed, pissed off at some aspects of hip hop. And just like in the same way that when people call me out my name, and it rarely happens, but like you can't stand in front of my face and call me out my name and me not check you. And so I kind of feel that way with hip-hop too. Like you don't get to call us bitches for days and you not get checked. And I'm talking about element of hip-hop that is that. Because you and I and your audience knows that that's not all of hip-hop. But for
right,
where
I think
that
that's what I was
big,
trying to say. Yeah.
Right, right.
I'm
so we are going to make a distinction.
Certain elements.
Exactly. We do have to make the distinction. We have to make the distinction amongst ourselves, amongst what we accept, particularly as women. We have to make the distinction amongst the men in hip hop who could care less about us and hell bent on disrespecting us, and or the media outlets that buy into this as well, including BET and MTV and, you know, all of just the media as a corporate entity. Like, they, as a corporate entity, as a corporate function, they don't have our best interests or anybody's best interests at heart except their own. And
you're
so,
absolutely right.
Yeah, so we want to check them for being irresponsible corporate citizens. You know what I mean?
I think maybe I didn't say it correctly because I'm extremely critical, especially
right.
as the mother of two teenagers.
Right, right.
I have two teenage sons, and my 14-year-old is actually taller than my 18-year-old and myself, and
right.
he will get slapped in the mouth if he ever thought about using that kind of language.
Right.
But I'm just saying it's been very good in helping bring me to identify who I am as a person, who I am in this world, and how I fit in, especially from a cultural and arts perspective.
Right.
Growing up in New York City, just the possibility of seeing people that look like me, they can do things that we're
right.
not the oppressed people that
right.
society claims us to be.
Right.
Like, I look at all the people that did major things, and it definitely helped me aspire, like, whoa, I
right.
didn't know we could do that. I
right.
didn't know we can do that. But with everything good comes not good. And I think you have to look at it from a balanced perspective. I have not listened to Hot 97 in I don't know how many years.
Right.
Not that I have no desire to listen to it. And for those of you that are not familiar, that's the New York City, hip hop station. Just because I stopped listening when they were doing a slap fest, where they would slap
right.
people in the
right.
face a couple of years ago. So I just want to give you let you know a couple of things, April. A few of my listeners are dropping you compliments. Miss Smokey says, great job, April, keep that focus point. You know what, I want to say, Miss Smokey, I kept saying monkey yesterday. I don't know where I got an N from, so I'm so sorry about that. Miss Smokey also says, the sky is the limit. Excuse me, there is no limit.
Right.
She also says, express yourself, you are all on it. And then Vic Style says, hello to you, and thanks for having me on. You know, thanks for having you on the show.
Oh, great!
So
great.
I'm happy that I'm getting hit up in the chat room. Dropping Seed Radio says hello. Honey Cheek 89 joins us in the chat room. So thank you everybody for hitting me up in the chat room and for dropping your comments for April.
Right? Can I share with the audience? Because I know we have the limited time, but I wanted to talk about the book too. Can I share that with them?
Absolutely, and once we move away from the book, I want to talk about the emerging trends in politics and your work with Kevin Powell.
Oh, okay.
So, let's talk about the book.
The book just came out Father's Day weekend, and this is my first book. Actually, I'm really excited and feel like super high and elevated and humbled at the same time. It's a book on fatherhood. It's been in the work for 2 years. And it's called Be a Father to Your Child. And the subtitle is Real Talk from Black Men on Family, Love, and Fatherhood.
Amazon, April?
It's on everywhere. It's on BarnesandNoble.com.
Okay.
It's in the local bookstores. If it's not on
everybody
the shelf.
Everybody go get it. Everybody listening, everybody
Amazon.
Hitting us up, get the book.
Yeah. For your listeners in other parts of the country, there's Powell'sBooks.com.
Okay.
I don't think they're in New York, but I know they're in other parts of the country. Powell's Bookstore and BookSense. So it's definitely, you know, like I said, it came out on Soft Skull Press in June, and I edited 24 essays, poems, and interviews by black men, mostly who came of age, all who came of age during the golden era of hip hop.
Oh wow!
Which you and I know. We classify that as late 80s, early 90s.
Who's some of the people in the book, April?
Yeah, I was going to get, man, your folks will definitely know. Talib Kweli is in the book. He's probably the most high profile.
I love him.
Yo, I got to check my team because you were supposed to get a press release that said all of this. So.
Oh, I love him.
So I got to check. But no, but he's in the book. Kevin Powell is in the book as well. JVD. Your audience will know him.
Yeah, we love JV.
Yeah, he's in the book as well. Bakari Kitwana, former editor
wow.
of the store.
Wow. Yeah, I'm familiar.
Yep, Lasana Hotep from Arizona. Because what we did was we had, I specifically chose people that were known and people who were unknown. We have people
right.
who are established writers. Kevin is on his 9th book.
Yeah,
now.
He's the bomb. Yeah, he's amazing.
Yeah, then we have people from that range from him to people who have never been published before. So I
wow.
wanted to make sure that we cross the full spectrum. We have people from all parts of the country, but the common thread is that they are black men, that they came of age during the era of hip hop, and they have something to say about family, love, and fatherhood. Now, not every gentleman in the book has a child, but they're all sons.
Right.
So they can speak to, they were given the option to speak from whatever angle that they, you know, that they could. And so it's been well received. It's been reviewed by folks in the community, AOL Black Voices, just a lot of different folks. And we're just now, you know, on the beginning stages of getting the word out. So that's why this opportunity is great. People can go to our website to find out. We got to put some more dates up there, but we're at the beginning stages of a tour.
Okay.
So I go to Barnes & Noble upstate, Rockland County, today at 7. And then for all the Brooklynites, I know you got to have a lot of Brooklynites listening.
Yeah.
we're at Barnes & Noble's next Thursday, the 14th, at 7 o'clock. So we've been doing book signings and community forums on this topic. And I tell you, it's been a very touching topic. You know, we haven't had one event yet where somebody doesn't break down. Because,
wow.
you know, when you start talking about black men being open and honest in a way that like we don't generally see them, that opens up a lot of emotion. And
wow.
you know, we're talking about, I mean, you know, people have this false notion that our men are these hardcore, rough exteriors all day long, but they're human beings. And
right.
they have feelings, they have pain. And I find in editing this book for the past 2 years, it's a lot more powerful because men are socialized to keep all of that emotion bottled in. There's no safe space for them to talk about the pain that they might feel because their father wasn't around.
Right,
you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
So then you have some men who are working through it, and this process has been a little bit of therapy, and they get, you know, and so then it triggers other people to feel a little bit more liberated with their feelings, and so it's really been like a therapy session every time we've had a session.
Wow, you know,
session.
It's amazing, and I don't want to get into a side conversation about that whole CNN piece, but I think it did such a disservice. Just the fathers, you know, I have 2 children, and they have 2 different fathers, and the fathers have gotten along. The fathers have raised their children. You know, we have an extremely blended relationship. All times have not been rosy. But I think fathers, you know, particularly black fathers, I guess I'm black, have gotten a raw deal. Do you find when you're out and about that that's a common thread that just people jump on a bandwagon to bash black fathers?
Well, I think it's, I don't know if it's people jumping on the bandwagon. I think it's people expressing their pain and their grief and their anger. You know, I think that's real. I think the pain and the hurt and the grief and the resentment and the hostility is very real when you talk about people who have been abandoned, you know, by their fathers and, you know, have grown
right.
men that say, I know my life would have been different if I would have just had somebody to teach me. Like, I have
wow.
grown men in my life that still deal with it. And it doesn't always come out as violent rage, you know, but sometimes it is bottled in. So it's a hardcore reality. But what is simultaneously true is that there are men out there who love their children. They are engaged with their daughters and their sons. They are raising their daughters sometimes single-handedly. It is so that now there's a tilt toward absentee dad and irresponsible fatherhood. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
But in the course of healing, getting past that and getting men to be better human beings so that they can be better fathers, we have to talk about and process and deal with the, you know, what is positive about being a father. And this book, let me say this, because I know we have a very limited time. I know we
no, we have 25. No, we have about 25 minutes left. We're good.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Making good time. It's an hour.
Oh, okay. Because we had scheduled. I had this. I'm sorry for your listeners. We had scheduled it for 12 to 12:30 on my end because I had another appointment.
That's
why I'm talking fast. I'm sorry.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, but I just wanted to zone in on the point that not only is, you know, it's true that we have all of this negativity around how men are fathers or not fathers. We also have some really strong, powerful, teachable stories of where men are on point with their children. And even though they might have come from a really dysfunctional relationship with their father, they have decided to break that cycle. And the other thing that's really outstanding about the book is that when people purchase it, they support the Black Men and Boys Initiative. And that is a nationwide initiative dedicated to pouring money and resources into programs that teach fathers how to be better fathers, Black fathers how to be better fathers. So all of the contributors to the book, all 24 of them, plus me as editor, have waived our royalties so that, you know, when those royalty checks come in, when they come in, that money, that check gets turned over to the 21st Century Foundation because they are running this initiative. Again, it's called Black Men and Boys Initiative. So let me give two websites, and then
I know you have to go, but thank you.
Yeah, people should vote for Kevin. But the
website
for the
websites?
Book.
I'm going to put them in the chat room.
Okay, it's beafathertoyourchild.com. That's the website for the book. And it really just redirects to our MySpace page. So people should, you know, please be our friend. We got to put some more dates up there because we're on a book tour. We just got some dates confirmed. So that's the website for the book, www.beafathertoyourchild.com. The website for the initiative is 21CF. That's the number 2, the number 1. C as in century, F as in foundation, 21CF.org. And they can find out more initiative about the Black Men and Boys. I mean, they can find out more information about the Black Men and Boys Initiative, which is where the proceeds go to this book. The book is available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It's in your stores. It just came out. You know, check us out. Tell us what you think, and you too. You know, because we want to know what y'all think. See if we're doing the right thing. So far, so good.
I'm very happy. Thank you for everybody. It's www.beafathertoyourchild.com, and I just put that in the chat room.
Okay.
And the other website is the number 2, the number 1, C as in Charlie, F as in Frank. org.
Right. That stands for 21st Century Foundation, which is the oldest Black nationally endowed foundation in the country, started by a Black man, Robert Brown, in 1971. So this is an example of arts and activism, right? Here we are talking about hip-hop from a positive perspective, the golden era, and men who were immersed in that culture, what do they think about fatherhood? So everything we do, not just programs in the community, but actual products that people can take and put on their shelves and read and go back to, very teachable tools, is everything that we're trying to do here at the Kilo Work Songs with the relationships that we have. But can I shout out for those who might know that Kevin Powell is running for Congress? Because I know you have mentioned
him. Please do.
Especially for the Brooklynites. He's running for Congress. The election is September 9th here in New York. And that he's running for the congressional 10th. And, you know, our friend and mentor, KRS-One, has come out and publicly endorsed him. And we need everybody to come out and get educated about the campaign. I'm sorry for the mix-up on our end. Sorry about the time, because I feel
it's
like I'm rushing now.
It's
but
all good.
Let me
it's
give people
good.
The website. They can learn
Please.
More about Kevin Powell, who they
what is
people
it?
Know. www.kevinpowell.com. For Congress.org, and let me spell it out. It's KevinPowellForCongress KevinPowellForCongress.org.
I just put it in the chat room, KevinPowellForCongress.org. April, I know you've got a boogie out of here. And listen, we will have you on another time when
maybe we can get
Kevin on and really talk about what he's doing, because
yes.
a lot of my shows are downloaded through iTunes, and
I get a
lot of downloads through iTunes. So
we will
the podcast,
make it happen.
Yeah, the podcast would definitely be available.
Okay.
Thank you, April, so much. Have a great day, and thanks for joining us today.
And let me shout you out, too, for your consistent work. I appreciate you so much.
Oh,
thank you.
All right, have a good one, April.
All right, we'll talk soon.
Be good. No doubt.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, peace.
You were just listening to April Silver, an activist, entrepreneur, author. She was talking about the new book that she edited, Be a Father to Your Child. And April has just done tremendous, tremendous work in Brooklyn and beyond, just talking about fatherhood, just talking about, positive role models, and just a lot of the things that we need as a people need to focus on, and a lot of things that we need to handle. Excuse me, just to really uplift our people and to move things along. I've had the pleasure of meeting Kevin Powell, and this is why I can't really go in and bash hip-hop. For those of you that were listening to the beginning of the interview, Kevin comes from a hip-hop background, and I look at people like Kevin, and although I must say on record that I am extremely, extremely critical of what hip-hop looks like right now, but I think a lot of good has come out of the expanded mind that hip-hop availed to a whole generation of young people. Just think about it. I came out of hip-hop. Kevin Powell came out of hip-hop. Keith Klingscales is one of the speakers that I work with, and he came out of hip-hop. He's educated at a top Ivy League school, and he comes out of hip-hop. But even getting back to Kevin and just the whole correlation between the industry, here's a person that embraced the culture that allowed us all to be free. I mean, I look at it myself, and I thought I had to be confined to a box. I had to be confined to what society thought I was supposed to be confined to, and it just didn't work out well. And I'm very honored and privileged and happy that I had the opportunity and the moment to speak with April, to just share with you some of the amazing work and the tremendous work that people like Kevin Powell are doing. And I encourage anybody, if you're in Brooklyn, come on out to Brooklyn, support Kevin Powell for Congress. Big ups to KRS-One, who definitely came out and publicly supported Kevin Powell. I'm supporting Kevin Powell for Congress, and I just encourage you, anybody that has the opportunity to attend an event for Kevin Powell, or just kind of support the book that he's a part of, support April Silver, Aquila Work Songs, because what happens is we go out and support a lot of things that may not be the most beneficial, and I always believe that there's room for movies like Soul Plane. If you remember on Monday, everybody jumped on me because I said I liked the movie Soul Plane and I hadn't seen Aquila the Bee yet. Well, I like Soul Plane. I think it was a funny and it was a stupid movie, but it was, it gave me a good laugh on a rainy afternoon. But when it comes time to support realness and when it comes time to support things that matter, it seems like everybody, their pockets dry up, the well ones dry, and we all turn and look the other way. Dropping Seed said, we must be critical. Change and growth cannot come without looking from within. Whoa, you are so right about that. But you know what? I'm even going to speak to that. Change and growth cannot come without looking within, but sometimes you don't know to look within, especially in the society in which we live, because we're taught to seek happiness by our surroundings. If we have a Mercedes, if we have jewelry, if we have this, if we have that, that's what makes us happy. So if that's what makes us happy, we think, how can self-actualization take place? We're never going to be critical of who we are or what we think because we're looking for external matter to make us happy. So I think, we definitely have to be critical. I think we definitely have to be assess who we are as a person and assess all of those things, but I think we have to get ourselves at a place where where we're aware enough to know where to look for guidance and assistance, which directs you to within. So I just want to say thank you to everybody who's tuned in today. I think we may have a little bit of a challenge, a little blip with the sound, but it's all good. I want to say thank you to everybody who gave their time to me today, and I just want to just thank you for continuing. I love you all for listening to the show. And, oh, listen, I'm traveling this weekend, everybody. I mentioned it to you yesterday, but the show will be, I'm broadcasting remotely on Monday, so Monday's show should be a good show. I'm not going to be in the studio, so I hope the sound quality and everything is good, but that's the beauty of technology. And before we go, just want to share with you, the light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. The presence of God watches over us. And wherever I am, God is. Wherever you are, God is. Thanks, God, and so it is.